today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Americans have continued to travel this year despite markedly higher prices, and the FAA gives the go-ahead for more takeoffs and landings at FSO. God. In San Francisco, reducing delays. Those stories and more next in the news.
Sometimes the simplest things.
Exactly.
I know. In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22, we dissect online ratings for travel services. How accurate are those ratings and comments? Who made them? Can you trust what is being said?
Chris Elliott joins us today at 11:35. Subjects include consumer protections for air travelers, travel influencers, and their generated content, and a few words on how you can use Chris's services for free to help solve your consumer problems.
The odds and ends section of the show at 11:50 features an airport restaurant where the price goes up if you don't tip, and the news that a historic downtown church might become a boutique hotel.
Lots of great travel stories and news for you every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Welcome to The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Popping everywhere, man.
Aruba, Jamaica.
Solo Seattle.
Get your kicks.
With the show.
Well, here we are once again. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the travel and entertainment guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for dialing us in. Don't forget now, you can find links to our special guests and lots of information to make you a smarter traveler always at travelguysradio.com. Good to see you, Mark.
Good to see you, sir. I was looking at the website this morning. Boy, you know, if you ever have a travel question or there's something that you don't know about, I mean, obviously you can ask Mr. or Mrs. Google. But the other thing is there are a lot of cool links there to you could go down the rabbit hole for half an hour just on our website. But things like to help you get your passport and just different little pieces of wisdom that you might not find other places. So I hope that you consider that a good resource. And also at the website, you can find our podcast. So if you don't catch the show one week, you're not available on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, it gets posted there a day or two later. And if you sign up for the podcast, then you'll get a notice in your email box each week when it's available, and you can go listen to it there. It's just this program without about 10 minutes of commercials in it. So it runs a little around 50 minutes instead of around 60 minutes. You can listen to The Travel Guys anytime you want to. We can bother you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And if you've been a frequent visitor to the website, we have updated it. It's a little more streamlined. Looks good, easy to navigate, so enjoy.
Thank you for noticing that. Adam, our guy in Toronto, worked really hard to try to make that a little nicer, so thank you. Unprompted comment, I'll share that with Adam.
Yes, absolutely. Thank Adam for us. It looks great, and like I say, it's just a little bit easier to navigate. Okay, at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we take time to bring you up to date on the travel news. Takes us to it. Mark, what you got for us today?
You know, when we started this about 20 years ago, that song was fairly recent. And, you know, so it wasn't a stretch for people to say, oh, the news, Huey Lewis and the news. Okay, I get it. But, you know, now that's kind of a golden oldie. So it's kind of like the guys doing the program. Anyways, let's get to some travel news here. Americans have continued traveling this year, despite the fact that prices have skyrocketed because of, in some cases, because of the war in Iran. Travelers had a sticker shock a couple of years earlier when we came out of COVID. Prices went up. So the reality is that, let me just give you an example. I went to price an airfare for some group travel to New York City in the spring next year, and my preferred itinerary came back, a round trip to New York, at a little over $1,000. And just to give you an idea, before COVID, we were paying about $375, $400 for that ticket. Now, wow. Fortunately, we were able to find something that worked for us that was close to what our first choice was for about $600. But that's still a 50% increase over what we were paying just a few years ago, and a dramatic increase over what we were paying before they started shooting at each other in the Persian Gulf. So it really had, this has really dramatically affected travelers, and the whole tariff thing snuck in places where we didn't expect it. So, you know, the supplies that hotels use to clean and the equipment that restaurants buy and things like that that were tariffed, that cost them more money, and those costs had to be passed on to us, and they didn't all jump up at one time. They were spread out over a period of time. So things just, if you travel, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. If you're a sports leisure traveler, you've noticed that what our company charges for our trips are more, because it's based on, our prices are based on, here's what it costs us to put it together. We add a margin to it, and this is what we charge you. So it doesn't really, the formula doesn't really change. What's causing the prices to go up is increased cost from suppliers. Travelers are paying a lot more money to travel this at this point in time than they were at this time last year.
Yeah. tell me about it. And, you know, somebody that's in a business like you, who basically, you know, you've got to pass those prices on. And it sometimes it can be to the point where people don't want to go. Have you had any people that really backing off on travel, or is it one of those things where, you know what, I'm going anyway?
Not
it costs
too,
a little bit more, but I'm going anyway.
Not too much. We have a trip to Japan, which is a very expensive destination, probably the hottest destination on the planet right now. And we tend to like to be, when we travel sports leisure vacations, we're not looking for the five diamond hotel, but we're looking for the four diamond, mm-hmm. or the three diamond. That's really a diamond in the rough. You know, it's a better hotel than what it's being rated, and sometimes the prices are accordingly. So we're not trying to be over the top, but just be a little bit better. But I can just tell you that in some cases, you know, $200 for a Hilton Garden Inn in a suburb of a major city, you know, that cost you $119 a few years ago. So it's just, mm-hmm. it's gotten more expensive to travel. People who travel are making decisions, and this is what economists are saying, they're making decisions not to buy other things because they want to travel. And at some point, that rubber band will probably bounce back. There's also a story later on in the news here. Let's see, where is it here? Hawaii visitors are taking shorter trips to Hawaii. They survey folks. If you remember, when you go in on the airplane, they ask you to fill out a little form, and it gives right. them some information about visitors. And the number of visitors isn't dropping, but the length of time the visitors are staying is dropping. They're spending a little bit more money per day, which makes sense. If you got so much budget for a Hawaii trip and you go for 6 days instead of eight, why, you probably will still spend the same amount of money. Anyways, travel is just more expensive. Airfares are up 26%. Year over year. So if you can afford to travel, God bless you. If you can't, you know, some people are just deciding to make fewer trips or shorter trips, or to stay in their region and do see things that they haven't seen before. All right, let's move along. United Airlines is the main beneficiary of this, along with Alaska Airlines. They have the most flights in and out of San Francisco, SFO. Yay. for the airport call letters. And so what is the FAA? They are doing some runway construction down there and resurfacing and some things that are causing their already limited facilities to be a little bit more limited. So last week, the FAA announced plans to partially roll back some of the restrictions they had put on the airport, which will allow more takeoffs and landings, up to 42 aircrafts an hour, which right now it's 36. So that's about a 15% increase. The airlines have cut some schedules in order to accommodate the lack of availability of takeoff and landing slots, but this will mean that delays in San Francisco, that airport is notorious for its delays over the years, will be a little bit less than they have been. And the reason that's important to those of us in Sacramento is because three or four times a day, a bunch of people get on a puddle jumper and head down to on a 15, 20-minute flight to San Francisco to catch an international flight or to go to a destination that isn't offered out of Sacramento or is offered at a different time, et cetera. So we still have a lot of folks, and I know that there are people who drive to San Francisco because I hear from those folks online on a pretty regular basis. So more departures there will help. Here is a word from One Mile at a Time. It says, Secret Delta VIP Select Service. What this $550 plus airport package gets you, if you really want to show that you can afford it, Delta has a service that it's called VIP Select. You can use it on departure during a connection or on arrival. They will meet you. This is pretty cool. I've never had it happen with Delta, but a couple of times with United, I'm fairly high up the United food chain, not high enough up to get this service. But I think what happens is they see somebody with a tight connection or something that's on the second level down, and they don't have anybody else to pick up on the first level, so they go and help the next guy. And I've been the beneficiary of that a couple of times. It's kind of cool when somebody's waiting in the jetway and says, hey, Mr. Hoffman, follow me. And you go down the steps and into a car and over to your gate. And so that's what Delta is now offering to sell people out of 10 airports, including San Francisco, Atlanta, Detroit, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, all their hubs, New York, JFK, and LaGuardia, Salt Lake City, Seattle, and Tokyo. You can pay Delta Airlines an extra amount of money. Let's call it $550 for the first passenger, and then $100 for each additional passenger for this incredibly special service. So, you know, if you're going to something that's a life-changing event, or the dollar is justified or something like that, ask about Delta's VIP Select. For the rest of us common folks, we'll just get off the airplane and walk 240 miles to the next gate. Hope we make it on time. Here's a cool thing. Zion National Park. If you are a disabled traveler or you know somebody with disabilities who loves national parks, Zion National Park in Utah, Southern Utah, has made a huge effort to make their park more accessible to folks with disabilities. You can now rent a wheelchair at Zion National Park. You don't have to take your own. And the wheelchair is, it's a specialty wheelchair so that you can go out and take it on some of the trails. Not all of the trails, but you can take it on some of them. And the shuttle buses don't accommodate the wheelchairs, but if you have a car that does, they will give you a special pass that allows you onto roads that are normally only used by buses. So if you are a disabled traveler or you know somebody who is, Zion National Park in Southern Utah, which is a spectacular place to visit, now can accommodate you and your friends much better than it could before. Amtrak is in line to get nearly $3 billion for new trains and improvement projects. I didn't see anything about trains passing through Sacramento being on this list, but the train up in Oregon that runs between Eugene and Vancouver, the Cascades, is on it to get some new equipment. Most of this is going to go back east. The Western trains for Amtrak were a focus of new equipment and the like 10 years or so ago, so I guess we've had our turn and now it is theirs. Southwest Airlines has had a dramatic growth in their loyalty program. Year over year, the airline says there are 35% more members in their Rapid Rewards program than there was at this time last year. Which is
why would that be?
I thought about that myself. Southwest flyers fit into two categories. People who are pissed off that the airline changed all the rules and fell in with everybody else, and now all the seats are reserved and stuff. They liked the old system. But there are a whole lot of people in the other camp who didn't like the old system, and to the extent that they refused to fly on the airline, and now that they can buy a reserved seat and that they can get some extra leg room and stuff like that, who knows, first class may be coming at some point, they decided to sign up for the Rapid Rewards program because now there was something in it for them. And if Southwest was going to play the game like the other airlines did and you liked that ability, remember, the thing we've talked about on this program more than once is the airlines have become really good at taking things away from you and then selling them back to you.
Yes.
You know, leg room, free baggage, et cetera. And that's how they make their profit. That's their business model now. So anyway, Southwest Airlines has seen a dramatic growth in the number of people who are signed up for their Rapid Rewards program. The other airlines have not reported that. So that's kind of interesting that it has to be those traditional flyers who just felt like there wasn't anything in it for them at Southwest before. Tourism in Arizona, this is, comes from the state tourism office, supports a record 326,000 jobs across Arizona last year. That's a lot of jobs. It makes it the third largest industry in Arizona. Tourism. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Southwest, speaking of Southwest Airlines, they're going to roll out a thing called Business Priority in early 2027, targeting business travelers with benefits like preferred reaccommodation. In other words, your plane doesn't go, so you're first in line to get reaccommodated. Standby and priority boarding. So look for that if your company uses Southwest Airlines for your business travel. California rideshare drivers are on track for union certification. The California Gig Workers Union is poised for certification after 30% of active rideshare drivers indicated an interest. That's the threshold required by law. If no other organization qualifies within a 30-day waiting period, the union will be officially certified. So what this means is that the people who pick you up in Uber and Lyft, they're going to be protected a little bit better from their employers who kind of make the rules and then say, here, you live by them. And that won't quite be the case anymore. So it'll be interesting to see what happens after that.
Wow. A gig union.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I wonder if other gigs besides rideshare will fall into that category. I imagine they will.
It means that your DoorDash driver is going to be perhaps belong to a union before too long.
Yeah, there you go. By the way, I just wanted to mention real quickly, how long has it been since you've been on a Southwest? I took a flight a couple of weeks ago, and the one between here and Vegas, mm-hmm, was on a plane, a Southwest plane I had never seen before. The seats were all brand new. They had a new contour. The leg room in aisle 20, which would normally be about 3 inches, was about 6. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, the narrower seats, it was fantastic. Plus they had the ports on the back of the seats.
Aha! See, that's the one thing that really the new planes at Southwest. The old planes, there was no place to plug in your electronics.
Right, and then on top of that, right above, in that same area there, at eye view, a little piece of plastic flips down, and you can place your cell phone, mm-hmm, right there, and it, mm-hmm, props up, so that you can plug it in, put your phone there. You know, kind of like where the magazines would normally go, and have a spot to hold it in place. Fantastic.
Somebody was thinking. All right, one last final note here. Amtrak started some new service between New Orleans and Mobile, Alabama last year. It's called the Mardi Gras Express Service, and it started last year in August, right about this time. They expected 38,000 people a year to ride the train. Over 150,000 people rode it the first year.
Wow.
So riding the train can be cool. So if you're headed down to that area, also, here's a little secret. There's a big Mardi Gras in New Orleans, and it's a big party, and it gets a little bit out of control, and it might not be for everybody. They have an awesome Mardi Gras in Mobile, Alabama every year. That's a little bit more scaled down. You can kind of get your hands around it. So, maybe that's an alternative. Anyway, congratulations to Amtrak on the success of their new service, and that's your travel news for today.
And we are Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Find us at TravelGuysRadio.com. In our Smarter Traveler segment just ahead, well, we're going to dissect online ratings for travel services. Okay, stick around. We'll do that next. Here we are, live and in living radio, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. Apologize for the stumbling into the break. You know, I spent decades making sure that all that kind of thing always goes smoothly, and nobody even notices that you just quickly went into the break.
That's all right. I couldn't get three letters out, S, F, and O earlier in the program right. there. So,
well, you know, we gotta keep things interesting for our listeners. You know, if we're too perfect, which never happens, they might think that we're AI.
Yeah.
But
not a live program. As I sit here and look right at you, you appear to be live.
Near as I can tell, yeah.
I'm sure if you were AI, why, you know, that we would know. Have you seen any of the AI, you know, like there's short movies and stuff like that online now that are done with all AI characters, and they're all perfect. You know, their facial expressions and everything, there's no glitches or anything, and of course there's no makeup because they're not real to start with. So anyways, it must be save producers of films and stuff like that a tremendous amount of money, but you can tell immediately that it's not the real deal.
Yeah, so. there's laws. There will be more to prevent that kind of stuff from happening. I had an AI phone call the other day. Hi, this is Al, your AI assistant. And he was so casual, mm-hmm. and it was so smooth that if I didn't know, I wouldn't have known it was. He answered all the questions. We booked an appointment for something to be taken care of, and it was friggin' amazing. I mean, it was so real. Yeah.
The wave of the future, my friend.
Yeah, the way they made it real was they made the person on the other end of the phone casual.
Yes. Yep. I'm getting a lot of these too. So many of them now that I recognize them about 3 or 4 seconds into it. And the way to end it is press 9 to be taken off of their list. And I don't know that they take you off the list, but at least ends the phone call.
Do what? Press 9?
Press 9, yeah.
9, okay. Remember that, folks.
Well, press usually 9. They don't tell you that until they get, you know, 2 minutes into the phone call, because legally they have to tell you. But I don't think legally they have to tell you up front, or at least they generally do not. And it's like, right. you know, if you're not interested in this, press 9 to get off our list. So now I just default to 9. And what's also fun is you can respond and say, yes, I'd like to talk to a live person, and then just lay the phone down. And then the live person comes on the phone, you know, and tries to get you. And there, you know, it's anyway, I'm like, domestic terrorism is kind of one of my things.
Okay, we could go on for quite a while for this, but I know we got about 4 minutes to do.
Yeah,
the last
to talk
half,
about what
half.
We're supposed to talk about here. All right, so what we're talking about here is online reviews. I wouldn't give you 10 cents for TripAdvisor or those reviews and stuff online because they're solicited by the businesses, and there are ways in some cases with some services for them to get reviews removed that they don't care for. The whole review thing was a great idea 20 years ago, but I don't think it doesn't have a lot of integrity now. So my suggestion to you is if you're going online and you're looking at reviews, or somebody is bragging about, you know, hey, 97% of our customers think that we're spectacular, go find out what the other 3% thought. Go to their website and don't look at the positive reviews. Look at the negative reviews. Now, sometimes those people are not legit and they've just got a bone to pick and they're, you know, they weren't in the right. But if you go through the negative reviews and you see the same thing pop up time after time, a customer service oriented thing, or maybe it's the return of a product that they bought on the internet or something like that. If you see some trends in the not so good area, you can use those to make a little bit of, to make some evaluation of what the product and how the company maybe does business, how they respond to people who have complaints. When there's a complaint online, does the company come in and make some effort at least to try to make it right or answer the person's question or suggest, hey, call us and we'll try to fix this for us? Or are there no answers every time that somebody makes a negative comment online, which means nobody's really watching, or nobody cares, or both. So to me, those are the ways that you can use the rating system to work for you. I can't tell you how many times, I'm sure listeners have had this happen, but recently I've had 4 or 5 of these in just the last couple of weeks where people have generally online, but one of them called me and said, hey, would you leave a positive review for us online? And I told the person who called gently, I said, no. Well, did you not like our product? I said, no, that's not the issue at all. I said, you did a fine job. It wasn't exemplary. This was a restaurant. I said, you took care of us. It wasn't, you know, wasn't perfect. It wasn't awful. It wasn't worthy of going online and making a comment on it. And I said, I'm so sorry, but that's just the way I feel. I would come back. I would bring you business again. But I don't think you're the greatest restaurant on the whole planet. So that is, and the other thing is, increasingly we see now that, especially with TripAdvisor, there is a way for businesses to go to appeal to TripAdvisor and say, look, here were the extenuating circumstances. This review should be taken down. And in some cases that happens. So TripAdvisor and the business are deciding whether or not the review is legit as opposed to potential customers. And I sort of have a little bit of a problem with that. So my bottom line wisdom to all of this is, take online reviews, especially overwhelmingly positive reviews, with a grain of salt. Especially with this AI thing now, it is possible to generate a whole bunch of positive reviews. And the other thing is, if you're reading reviews online and you're thinking to yourself, wow, these are really, you know, over the top. I mean, there's a lot of adjectives here with multiple syllables and all of that kind of stuff, then you should be suspicious of that. And you read three or four of them in a row and you say, these all sound like they could be written by the same person or the same entity. They probably were. And so they should be disregarded. And also, if you find that, I think that that's a negative point. I think that a business that has to resort to that type of pandering for reviews, there might be a reason that they don't have, that they need to put good reviews online, is because the customers who are doing business with them are not putting good reviews online. Maybe they're not putting bad reviews, but they're not putting good ones either. So just when it comes to that whole review situation online, just be careful. Just be careful.
All right. Good advice. Good advice. We are the travel and entertainment guys. We're always subject to people reviewing our show. Generally speaking, if they're not liking it, they're not listening. But if you are listening, thank you for joining us. Chris Elliott, consumer advocate, world traveler, joins us right after a short time out. Subjects include consumer protections for air travelers, traveler influencers, and, a lot of great stuff to make you smarter traveler. That's next here on The Travel Guys.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
If you're a mature traveler or you're already a sports leisure traveler, a reminder that our annual tour preview day is coming up on the 27th of September at the B Street Theater downtown. There are our morning and afternoon sessions. We'll roll out our catalog for next year and give folks an opportunity to learn about dozens of new trips, long and short, all over the planet, all over the country, all over the state, all over the area. If you are a mature traveler and you're tired of doing all of that planning yourself and you'd like to go with a company that really knows how to travel, Sports Leisure Vacations might be just for you. You can sign up for our tour preview day by giving us a shout at 916-361-2051 or go to sportsleisure.com. Full disclosure, there is a $10 admission for tour preview day, which is donated in total to local charities. But it's kind of a way of making sure that people have a little skin in the game and they show up. So join about 500 sports leisure travelers at the B Street Theater on Sunday, September the 27th for our tour preview day. Sportsleisure.com for registration.
Welcome, my friends. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And joining us again today are my probably favorite guest. I think I can say that without insulting anybody. Chris Elliott, consumer reporter, travel expert, friend of the Travel Guys, always a long ways away. Welcome to the Travel Guys, Chris. Let's start by telling folks where we've hooked up with you today.
Thanks. I'm honored to be your favorite travel guest. That's I really appreciate that. We are in Seoul, South Korea today.
Wow. Wow. So before we went on the air, you said it was hot there, but what's, I mean, Japan is one of the hottest destinations on the planet, and not talking about weather, just talking about people who want to go there. Korea's in that same sort of region. Why do travelers go to Korea?
Well, Korea is a fascinating place. It's and not just because of the political situation right now. It's actually been in the news, so I think that is of some interest. It's also just fascinating from a cultural perspective. Thousands of years of history, and just an incredible food scene. And if you like coffee, this is the place to be, because it's probably like the world headquarters of coffee. I never thought I would say that, but if you want good coffee, there's like within a few blocks of where I live here in Mapo-gu, there's probably three or four roasters, not coffee shops, roasters. So it's they take it very seriously here.
Wow. So if somebody was heading for Korea, obviously they're only going to South Korea because you can't travel in the north. How long would it take to see a country like that? Can you do it in a week, 10 days?
Well, a lot of people will get a cruise and they'll stop in Busan and then maybe come up north and do some of the cultural sites. And you can do that in probably 1 week. I would give it 2 weeks, really. I would, maybe base yourself in Seoul and then do a couple of trips out into the countryside. The real trick, though, is choosing the right time of the year. You do not want to be here in August. That was like a huge mistake. It's so, so hot.
What's your favorite thing to eat in Korea?
We're about two blocks away from the marketplace here. And bear in mind, I'm on like a plant-based diet, so I don't get to go do the fun stuff. But they have incredible steamed corn here. And I never thought I would say that, but at this time of year, the corn is in season and they steam it. It's unlike anything that you've ever had. So if you ever come to Korea, try the steamed corn. It's awesome. But it's very good. What they do is they treat it with salt. Everything is heavily salted here. Like if you want to die of sodium poisoning, this is the place to do it.
All right. Let's shift gears here and talk about a few travel subjects besides Korea. Chris, in recent weeks, you and many other people have penned articles about how every time the consumers win something when it comes to battles against the airlines, some kind of consumer rights, it usually takes years to happen. And then it's a process of letting people know that, things have changed and the airlines are not going to tell you that you have any more rights. So it seems like when something is happening positive for the consumers, it takes a long time. But when the airlines decide they want to get rid of something, particularly with the folks who are in office right now, it doesn't take a long time for that to start to show up. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. Yes. There are literally so many efforts right now to undo consumer rules that I am having a hard time tracking it all. Every day I see something new and I have to write about it. But the most recent for air travelers is the efforts to undo the full fare advertising rule. And I know you know about this, but basically for the last 10 years, when you go search for an airfare, you get a full fare that includes all the mandatory fees and taxes. And now the airlines want to basically reverse all that. They want to be able to display a fare that doesn't include the mandatory fees and the taxes. They want to add that later on, which is something called drip pricing. They say it's their First Amendment right to do that. And they're really fast tracking it. The DOT, the Department of Transportation, was requesting comments. And they only gave a very short window. I think it was like 3 weeks. And then some of the stakeholders asked for more time. But they're hoping to undo this by the end of the Trump administration, which would be incredibly fast. And it would be devastating to people who, maybe don't fly that often and they don't know any better. And they're going to get surprised when they get to that last screen and they realize that they have to pay another maybe 20% for the ticket that they want.
Yeah. And just so that you understand, if you're listening, what we're talking about here is that you look for the price of an airfare and the price on one website says $400. And you're thinking, well, gee, that's cheaper than the other website was $460. But then you start digging into that $400 and you find that, oh, well, that price didn't include this, and it didn't include this, and it didn't include this. And at the end of the day, the 460 price was a better deal because it had more of the marginal stuff already available to the public. So what is a person to do here? Are we going to lose this war? Are the airlines going to be allowed to go back to baking us by putting down fares and then saying, hey, you know, if you want to use the bathroom, it's extra $4.
Right, the old pay toilets, right? Actually, what's interesting is that there is not unanimity among the airlines. Southwest Airlines, I'm told, does not want to go back to this because it's confusing to consumers. So there's going to be a little bit of fighting going on. And there are actually two proposals in front of the DOT. One is completely undoing it, and the other one is just allowing airlines to display a price with the same prominence as they would the full fare. And if I was a betting man, I would say it's going to be the latter. So they're not going to completely undo it. But I will say this, though. The moment the next administration gets into office, they're going to reverse and go back to there's no way that this is going to stand. This is absolute insanity.
Our special guest today, consumer advocate and friend of the Travel Guys, Christopher Elliott. Christopher, I know you've been doing a little bit of work on your website. Yeah, some enhancements and so forth. Why don't you take a couple of minutes and tell listeners what's new for them at the Elliott.com.
Well, you know, as you know, I run a website and a newsletter for consumers. And we focus on travelers, but we deal with all kinds of things, including event tickets and even appliances, computers, anything that might go wrong. And so we figured, well, you know, August is a slow time. We should maybe use it to get some improvements made. And it's just like the thread that you pull on a sweater and it starts to come undone. And the next thing you know, the whole sweater is gone. That's kind of what happened is we started just updating the website and we gave it a new look. And then we publish the names, numbers, email addresses of the executives, just in case you need to appeal a case. And we started to redo that. And so now that has a completely new look. Then we redid the newsletter. And we have the newsletter, by the way, which you can find at ElliottConfidential.com. It's two L's and two T's and then confidential.com. It's a completely free newsletter, but we have a paid component. So we worked on improving that. And so we now have a really heavy news component to that. So we're actually doing stories every day that affect you as a consumer. And it's been very useful. And then we also opened a new forum, which you can find at ElliottConfidential.com/community. It's called Back Channel, and we've been having a lot of fun there just talking about answering questions and talking about travel and things like that. So it's been, we've got a lot of great momentum going into fall, and I'm really excited. You know, we were talking earlier about consumer protections that were being abandoned by the government. And I think that when that happens, advocates like me, we try to pick up the slack and help people, and that's exactly what's happening here.
Chris, I want to talk about one more thing before you go here. I watch on the internet because I try to see, probably like you, as much travel information as I can, real or fake, because I want to know what the landscape looks like out there. Travel influencers are kind of getting under my skin, especially with all the fake content. I see this stuff where people get on an airplane, and I feel like that they almost, if there isn't a problem, they create one so that they mm-hmm. will have some content to be able to share with their viewers. And most of the time, it's just complete. I can only imagine being a person on the airplane with this person waving their phone around and talking and trying to create a ruckus. I guess it's just really a statement, but there are folks like yourself who are really here to help consumers. And then these are people, and it's not everybody, but a good percentage of them are just freeloading. I mean, they create their own situations. I don't know. What do you think about all of this? It sure is giving folks a lot of misinformation, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, you're talking to someone who is a classically trained journalist, and I view these events with some skepticism. Most of the people who are doing them are just showboating, and they want to get good content for their YouTube channels. And a lot of times, as you say, it's made up. It's very frustrating because, from my perspective, we're often confused for these people. People have referred to me as an influencer, which I definitely am not. And I think that the real problem isn't like, I mean, certainly it's getting under my skin just like it's getting under your skin. The problem is that your listeners probably wouldn't be able to tell the difference between someone who's doing this kind of showboating and a legitimate travel advocate or consumer journalist. And that's the real problem, is that the lines have been blurred and that, you know, you really can't tell who's who anymore.
Well, and folks are saying, here, go ask for this or go get that because it's available. And generally it's not. You know, it's like all of the emails that are sent out with people who work in the airline industry and come over here, I'll tell you how to get upgraded. And, you know, the way you get upgraded is you fly a lot and you're on the list and it's all computerized now. And unless you know the pilot and he can sneak you on the plane without anybody knowing about it, those days are over of being nice to the flight attendant and having them upgrade you.
Right. You know, it's the old and I was around when they were giving this advice, is like, show up to the counter with a box of chocolates and a big smile and you'll get a first class ticket. That just does not work anymore. There's a lot of really bad advice being given. And the thing that you may not know about these influencers, and this is not true of all of them, of course, but a lot of them will charge for their coverage. So they'll show up at a hotel and they'll charge a couple $1,000s to say something nice or to take, you know, those Instagram pictures that you see. If you really look at those photos, by the way, and no one ever does any of that. You don't really see anyone with their backs to you, their hands out, and there's this big, you know, mountain range, and no one does that. No, this is just all invented for your enjoyment, but it's not real journalism. Shouldn't be confused for real journalism, and you shouldn't take their advice.
Those who spend thousands of dollars on a vacation based on what somebody on the internet told them that they'd never seen or heard of before, I might question that. So if you see something and you think, wow, that's a really good deal or that's worth looking into, do your homework and go to a couple more sources to at least find out that, you know, you're not throwing your money down a rabbit hole. Or the worst thing is that some of these folks who are giving reviews and stuff are really not qualified to give them. They really don't know what they're talking about in a lot of cases. And so following them can send you down a rabbit hole that it's great for them, but it's not going to do you any good. It's not going to help you get that one last first class seat on the airplane or the best room in the hotel or anything like that. A lot of this stuff is computerized now. The airlines and hotels make a lot of money selling status to people and having people work really hard, spend a lot of money to get status. So those are the people that they're generally making sure that they take care of. And if you're Joe Blow off the street and you read something on the internet that says, you know, this is how you're going to get into first class, good luck to you. Maybe it still happens, but I'm going to suggest that if it does, those situations are few and far between. Wouldn't you agree, Chris?
If you're going to follow anything, follow the money. And, you know, you go, and you were talking about influencers. There's a particular type of influencer that really bothers me. Those are the people who have these mileage blogs, and you go onto them and they're always talking about getting free points and free miles. You look at where their money is coming from. They're making all their money off of trying to get you to sign up for one of the credit cards, and they get $300-$400 every time you sign up for one. That's how they make their money. These are not trained journalists. These are not real reporters. These are people who are just fans. They have not been trained as journalists in any way. They just want to take your money, and then they want to give you advice that will make you spend more. They are not looking out for your best interests at all.
They're salespeople.
Yep, they are. Some of them are good salespeople. Some of them are not even that good, but they are. That's exactly what they are.
And a few of them are compensated by the people that they're reviewing and the like. So it's not really, you know, just be careful. If you see something on the internet from one of these random influencers and you say, wow, that sounds good, do your homework and let it just be a tip to something that, hey, this might be good, but do your homework. Anyways, thank you for listening to me, Dr. Elliott, and for sharing your thoughts.
Yeah.
Yes. So tell me about your mother. No, you know what? Yeah, these guys, and we haven't even talked about AI and what that can do, but people can easily fake something with AI. So don't believe what you see, even if it's in a video.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mr. Elliott, for your time again today. Elliott.org, right?
That's right. ELLIOTT.org.
Yep. And that will find you lots of free good stuff. And if you want to take it a level higher, why, then you can find some really great content above that. So depending on how serious you are about your travel. And the other thing I will just say about Chris's website, when you read the letters to the editor and the contributions that people make, it's not people arguing back and forth and trying to one-up each other. It's people with legitimate information that might actually help you, or saying, you know, this is what my experience was and this is what happened to me. So there's a lot more value in a website like that than there is someplace else. So if you're thinking about doing some traveling, or the other thing is Chris mentioned at the beginning, hey, man, if you just bought a refrigerator that doesn't work, the folks at Elliott.org can help you with that, too. Thank you again, Chris, for your time today. Be safe in Korea. We'll talk to you again in a few weeks.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, there you go. Chris Elliott, always solid advice. Johnny on the spot, a hardworking
makes a great guest, because he's always in an exotic place, so he can share a little bit about the place. Yeah. And the man has more travel wisdom than anybody that I know. And so we are indeed very lucky that he is generous with his time and is a part of our program.
Remember, links to Chris Elliott and all he does can be found at travelguysradio.com. All right, it's odds and ends time coming up in a second here. Mark, what are we going to cover?
I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Shake Shack business with the screen that in the airport that added a tip if you didn't choose to add one on your own. And there's a downtown hotel, there's a downtown church that may be about to turn into a hotel. A boutique hotel downtown. So we'll talk about those coming up next right here on The Travel Guys.
What you up to, my friends? Hope you're having a wonderful Saturday morning. Mark and Tom with you, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. If this is the first time to visit, check us out at travelguysradio.com, and we'll be back next Saturday at 11. In the meantime, it's odds and ends time. So, Mark, let's talk about... Well, we mentioned them last week. Shake Shack had this situation, and I think it was in, where was it?
Utah Airport, Salt Lake City.
Yeah, and his wife went up to the kiosk, and she placed an order, and in the process, when it came to tip time, she said, no, thank you. And when she turned around and looked a second time, the price of all of the items that she purchased had jumped up about 50 cents.
Uh-huh.
Sort of like auto tip, right? So her and her husband checked it out. They shot a video, which, by the way, you can find at travelguysradio.com. Well, what do the Shake Shack people have to say about this?
They say it was just some kind of glitch, some kind of software glitch in the computer, and that they were, of course, see, these airport locations are different. They're not like the franchises you see out on the street, because people run them. Companies, airport concessionaires run them in return for giving a share of the profits to the parent company and a rent to the airport. So it's a little different situation when you see one of these franchises in an airport than you would see it somewhere else. So anything is possible, but it sure seems kind of suspicious that the software glitch was adding, and you have to wonder, I mean, this person caught it. Did anybody else catch it? But Shake Shack, of course, came out very quickly and said, this is viral. If you look this up on the internet, it is all, there's like 20 or 30 entries, and a lot of them have been viewed millions of times. So this is really somewhat of a PR disaster for the Shake Shack people, because it'll be a while before people stop looking at this and referring to it. So I wouldn't, if I were the software guy who made that mistake, I probably wouldn't want to be showing my face around the Shake Shack places at this point in time. Hey, listen, here are a couple of other cool little updates here. Google and the National Park Service, we told you how Zion National Park is being more friendly to disabled people in the news. Google and the National Park Service have launched a new interactive digital hub just in time for the Park Service's 110th birthday. United Parks of America, there's a link to this at our website, will allow you to go literally into national parks online, see all kinds of historic documents and exhibits. If you're not able to travel anymore, what an opportunity to travel vicariously. And if you can travel, what a great chance to preview places that you might be going to.
This is the most awesome, awesome site. I mean, it, and particularly for those that have been to some of these places, it's just fabulous. It's like I say, it's a vacation right on your computer.
How awesome is that? All right. And there's a link, as I mentioned, at travelguysradio.com. This is a cool little story here. Last item for the day. Hotel and historic church. This comes from the abridged PBS KVIE news service, which I've already told you I think is pretty awesome. They have this news article about the old Pioneer Church downtown that has been abandoned by its congregation because the building is old and it just costs too much to be able to service it. The city records show a lot of pending fees, but there's an application to the city that shows a planned event space and 12 hotel rooms at the church after it was listed for sale earlier this year. So I don't know if that's what's going to happen yet. I'm sure there are two sides to this. Probably some people who hate to see the beautiful old church turned into a hotel. But if the option was that it wasn't there anymore at all, maybe that would be an acceptable compromise. To me, as a travel person, it would be a cool thing to add to downtown to be people to be able to stay in a 175-year-old church. So anyways, that's your last story for today.
There you go. Yeah, 12 rooms.
Yeah, pretty exclusive.
That is boutique. All right, my friends, thanks for joining us. Don't forget, check us out at TravelGuysRadio.com. Final word, Mark?
We'll be back next week in a shortened version before the UC Davis football game. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching. We'll see.